2 weeks after Oppenheimer wrote his June 16th memo summarizing the views of the science panel, Edward Teller came to him with a copy of a petition that was circulating throughout the Manhattan Project's facilities. Drafted by Leo Szilard, the petition urged President Truman not to use atomic weapons on Japan without a public statement of the terms of surrender. "The United States shall not resort to the use of atomic bombs in this war unless the terms which will be imposed upon Japan have been made public in detail, and Japan, knowing these terms, has refused to surrender." Over the next few weeks, Szilard's petition garnered the signatures of 155 Manhattan Project scientists. A counterpetition mustered only 2 signatures. In a separate July 12, 1945 Army poll of 150 scientists in the project, 72% favored a demonstration of the bomb's power as against its military use without prior warning. Even so, Oppenheimer expressed real anger when Teller showed him Szilard's petition. According to Teller, Oppie began disparaging Szilard and his cohorts. "What do they know about Japanese psychology? How can they judge the way to end the war?" These were judgments better left in the hands of men like Stimson and General Marshall. "Our conversation was brief," Teller wrote in his memoirs. "His talking so harshly about my close friends and his impatience and vehemence greatly distressed me. But I readily accepted his decision." Teller claims in his memoirs to have thought in 1945 that use of the bomb without a demonstration and a warning would be of uncertain expediency and of deplorable morality. But his actual reply to Szilard, dated July 2, 1945, shows that he came to quite the contrary conclusion. "I am not really convinced of your objections to immediate military use of the weapon," Teller wrote. The gadget was indeed a terrible weapon, but Teller thought the only hope for humanity was to convince everybody that the next war would be fatal. For this purpose, actual combat use might even be the best thing. At no point did Teller even hint that he thought a demonstration practical or a warning necessary. "The accident that we worked out this dreadful thing," Teller wrote to Szilard, "should not give us the responsibility of having a voice in how it is to be used." This, of course, was one of the arguments Oppenheimer had advanced in his June 16th memo to Stimson. He was convinced that nothing more need be done by the scientific community. He told Ralph Lapp and Edward Kreutz, two physicists at Los Alamos who had agreed to circulate Szilard's petition, that since an opportunity has been given to people here to express, through him, their opinions on the matters concerned, the proposed method was somewhat redundant and probably not very satisfactory. Oppie could be persuasive. Kreutz explained to Szilard, somewhat apologetically, "Because of Oppenheimer's very frank and non-peremptory treatment of the situation, I should like to abide by his suggestions." Oppie would not expedite the petition to Washington. Instead, it would be sent through normal army channels, and it would arrive too late. Oppie informed Groves of the Szilard petition and did so in a disparaging tone. "The enclosed note from Szilard de Kreutz is a further incident in the developments which I know you have watched with interest." Groves' aide, Colonel Nichols, called Groves that same day, and in the course of their discussion of the Szilard petition, Nichols asked why not get rid of the lion, Szilard, and General stated, "Can't do that at this time." Groves understood that firing or arresting Szilard would inspire a revolt among the other scientists. But with Oppenheimer equally annoyed by Szilard's actions, Groves felt confident that the problem could be safely contained until the bomb was ready.